I think one of the most difficult questions in any spiritual life, or one of the questions that I've had the most trouble wrestling with other people in my ministry and with myself, is how do I really know what God is calling me particularly to do? How do we know what God wants us to do in life? And is there any way we can have some signposts, some markers along the way to find out what it is that God wants us to do? And in what follows in my sermon this morning is a scaffolding that I learned from a writer called James McClendon about how there's really no one way of knowing what God wants us to do, but there are several ways of knowing what God wants us to do. And McClendon mentions this because he says that when you have only one way of knowing what God calls you to do, it's not very strong. It's not very strong at all. If you have only one piece of paper rolled up, it can be easily torn and thrown away. So if there's one way that you continually rely on to relate to God, that is not a very strong way of relating to God. It needs some more to put it on a stronger footing. And basically, McClendon says there are three ways of relating to God. The first one he calls body ethics or natural ethics. And those are the kinds of questions that we all run into for our own personality. Questions that really nobody else can answer for us. Questions like, who should I marry? That's a big question, an important one, but it's one that nobody else can answer for you. Questions like, which particular instrument should I learn to play? That's a question that depends on how you like a particular instrument or don't like a particular instrument, what sort of practice you want to put into that instrument, whether you want to play in a band or play in a solo capacity or those sorts of things. Body ethics, what's my major going to be in college, or should I even go to college? Those are the kinds of questions that are the first strand of ethics, according to McClendon, the first strand of knowing what God wants us to do by believing, by understanding that God is involved in all those choices. So that's the first strand, which we'll represent by this one here. But it's not enough just to have body ethics. You also need a second form of ethics, a second form of knowing how to react and respond, and that rises out of the community of which you are raised. That's where you get your morals and your values from. So probably the best example of this is around the dinner table with your family. That's how you learn to have manners. That's how you learn what is polite and what is impolite. Or to think of it in a different way, think about schooling. You learn how to raise your hand. You learn how to take turns. You learn how to share. And then even in our churches, we talk about this is how you learn the Lord's Prayer. Right now, we don't see it, but over in the Steele building, the children are learning something that they could not learn apart from one another. They're learning something in a community that they could not learn as well if they were separate, if they were apart from one another. So you learn things in Sunday school and in a children's lesson that you would not be able to learn as well individually. Hymns are like that. The Lord's Prayer is like that. You learn it as part of the community. So McClendon says you take the body ethics, that's part of what you learn, and then you take a second strand, and that strand is community ethics. And then you twist it together like a rope. And then the third strand, McClendon says, is what he calls resurrection ethics. And I really don't like that term, but he wrote the book, so I'm not going to argue with him about it. Someday when I write a book, if I ever write a book, I'll come up with my own term. But he's allowed to have it. But what he means by resurrection ethics is, what does Jesus command me? What does Jesus command? What is God speaking to me? In the passage we heard read from Luke today, the resurrection ethics would be, what was God saying to Jesus when he came up out of the water? You are my son, in you I am well pleased. That's resurrection ethics in McClendon's term. That's what nobody else understands but you. Nobody else can have a particular ministry but you. And what God is speaking to you particularly, not to me, but what is God speaking to you? Some of us may be called, because of our situation in life, to offer forgiveness to people 70 times 7 times. That might be your calling. Others of us who maybe have not been offended against in the same way, maybe forgiveness isn't my thing right now. Maybe I have to learn how to be more generous with the poor. Some people may need to learn to turn the other cheek. Other people may need to learn where your treasure is here on earth, there it will be in heaven as well. There are all sorts of things that come directly out of Jesus' mouth himself, and that is what McLennan says has to be the third point of how to live, how to act. And McLennan says this is best seen in the moment of baptism, both in Jesus' baptism and in our baptism, because the three strands all come together. There's Jesus' story, there's my story, mixed into one to the glory of God. And what happens in baptism is that we turn away from all the things that we've done in our past. John called all the people when they were getting baptized to turn away from things that were not helpful to them, from things that were keeping them out of the kingdom of God, from sinning. And John says, when you enter into this water and come up out of it again, you are part of God's new community and your life will never be the same. And that's exactly what Jesus talks about. Come, follow me, and your life will never be the same. It will be transformed in ways that you and I cannot ever imagine. So you will have a new vista, a new road opening up in front of you. And then if you think about that, and this is the image that McLendon uses, if you've got the body ethics, and if you have the community ethics, and if you have the resurrection ethics, all twisted into one, and you'll know this if you're a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, a threefold cord cannot easily be broken. A threefold cord cannot easily be broken. So if when you're next time you're making a moral decision, next time you have to consider something, you're standing at a crossroads in life, this happens probably more often than we even think of it. Next time you're standing at a crossroads, think about those three things. The body ethics. What is it that I need to do in terms of my health? What is it that I need to do in terms of my education, my future? What is it in the second category, in the community? What have I learned from people in my life, from my family, from my church, from my friends? What have I learned from being around people? And in the third thing, what is Jesus calling me to do that no one else in this world can do the way I can? And that will be the threefold cord. That will be God calling your name into something that you and only you can do. Amen.